So whether you're aware of it or not, we've been praying up a storm already this morning in our worship together. A worship service is by definition a ritual lifting up of what is worthy, what is good and true. We have been singing and speaking words of praise and thanksgiving, both of which are forms of prayer. An ancient human practice recorded in writings as old as 5,000 years, prayer is an invocation or act that seeks to activate a rapport with an object of worship through deliberate communication. Whether science can prove definitively the efficacy of prayer in physical healing remains to be seen, but many people experience the benefits of prayer in their personal lives. As a form of prayer, the expression of appreciation, thankfulness, or gratitude also has benefits for us as we move through our daily lives and the relationships therein. Gratitude benefits our individual physical, mental, and emotional well-being. The physical and spiritual benefits are interconnected. As a result of a more positive mood, we experience increased happiness and more satisfaction with life, which can lead to less fatigue, better sleep, lower levels of cellular inflammation. Less stress means we are less likely to experience burnout. We have greater resiliency. Being grateful for what we do have, we are less apt to grasp after material things in an attempt to fill perceived emptiness in our lives. Spiritually, those who practice gratitude are also apt to develop greater patience, humility, and wisdom. Imagine what benefits the practicing of gratitude can have on groups of people, such as a family, a workplace, a school, or a congregation. Interpersonal interactions improve through increases in pro-social behaviors, and relationships are strengthened. Teamwork efforts become more effective, and the satisfaction of working together increases. The November issue of Quest, a monthly publication of the Church of the Larger Fellowship, our national global presence in the ether, was chock full of thinking about thanks and praise. Not surprising, I guess, because as CLF's departing minister Meg Riley puts it, praise generates gratitude, gratitude generates abundance. I'll share a few thoughts that especially struck me, but I encourage those who want to reflect further on gratitude to look for it online. For example, James Ishmael Ford raised Galen Gungerich's question and response regarding what should be the defining religious discipline of Unitarian Universalism. Gungerich had this answer: while obedience, love, and even submission each play a vital role in the life of faith, my current conviction is that our defining discipline should be gratitude. In the same way that Judaism is defined by obedience, Christianity by love, and Islam by submission, I believe that Unitarian Universalism should be defined by gratitude. Ford agrees in the sense that, on the one hand, gratitude lies near the heart of all the world's religions, and that as a discipline, as something we consciously do, Gungerich is calling us in an important direction. The short book review of Kathleen Green's Goodness Gracious, a Gratitude Book for Children, reminds us that taking time to express how thankful you are is a valuable practice. In her introduction, Green says, maybe you don't know who or what you're thanking, but that's perfectly okay. It still feels good to remind yourself how good some things are and how much you love them. So, do any of you break into song when you're feeling grateful? Yes. Okay. I mean, I live with someone who does this, so I hear a little song being sung downstairs, and I know that something's going right. Do you make up the words as you do sing that little song? It's certainly a way to embody your gratitude and share it with those within hearing. What other spiritual practices, disciplines, might we engage with to strengthen our gratitude muscles? How many of you engage in some sort of writing? Some hands? More hands? Maybe you've seen the three good things practice that was popularized by social media. A retired UU minister I know has made this a daily practice for, I think, at least 3 years now, posting every day on her Facebook page three things she is grateful for. It's a form of counting our blessings, or as my spiritual teacher, Peggy Dillon, puts it, count the pearls before you go to sleep. Have you ever journaled about things, people, or situations for which you are grateful? Yes. I had a couple of congregants in Tallahassee who had been practicing what's known as the Happiness Project for a couple of years. They would sit down and write each day and then share their written gratitudes with each other. Sharing this practice with members of the congregation led to starting a group at the church that wanted to follow this beneficial routine. Writing is an excellent way to work on our personal healing. I like to do this before I go to sleep at night because it empties my mind of all of the things that I've been thinking about all day. Good, bad, indifferent. As James Ishmael Ford puts it, there are 4-step plans, 5-step plans, 10-step plans. For the most part, they seem to center on stopping and noticing, with a dash of fake it till you make it. In other words, being aware of the present moment or meditating. At another congregation where I held leadership positions, the board would write 1 or 2 gratitude cards each month to thank someone in the congregation for their gifts of service, saying thank you, expressing appreciation, and giving praise all promote positive outcomes. Lynn Unger, the minister for lifespan learning at the Church of the Larger Fellowship, shared her insight into choosing praise over blame or punishment and shame with people of all ages and abilities in our lives. Unger quotes from Robert Haas's book of poetry called Praise. "We asked the captain what course of action he proposed to take towards a beast so large, terrifying, and unpredictable. He hesitated to answer, and then he said judiciously, 'I think I shall praise it.'" There are scenes in many a cartoon, movie, or book for young readers where a scary creature, whether real or fantastical, is approached gently and lovingly to great effect. One that comes immediately to mind for me is Androcles and the Lion. The lion is in great pain due to a thorn in its paw and is lashing out in rage at all who come near. But Androcles is able to help the lion and remove the thorn, much to the lion's relief. Lynn Unger's conclusion is that praise, no matter how counterintuitive it may seem in the moment, might just be the logic that creates the change we long to see. Think about that. There's a lot of change we'd like to see in the world. Maybe that change is simply a change in our own selves, in our outlook on life. The challenging and unpleasant experiences we go through can be tremendous teachers. Not only does recalling a past negative event help us appreciate where we are now, but it helps us recognize our learning and spiritual growth. It is always important to acknowledge the teachers in our lives. Here's a wisdom story told by one of the 4th century desert fathers named Abba John the Dwarf, who studied under another one of the great desert mystics, Abba Amos. It is about a pagan philosopher who instructed one student that for 3 years the student should give money to anyone who insulted them. At the end of the 3 years, the philosopher instructed the student to go to Athens, the city of wisdom, for the pinnacle of their learning. At the gate to the city, the student encountered an old woman who insulted every person who passed. When it was the student's turn, and the student was insulted, the student just laughed. When questioned about the laughter by the old woman, the student replied that for 3 years they had paid for this sort of abuse, and now at the gate to the city of wisdom, they were getting insulted for free. The sage old woman smiled and said, "Enter the city of wisdom, it is yours." With gratitude as a spiritual practice, it is certainly possible to feel gratitude, to express praise, even as we are still going through the trials of our lives. How many of you have known people who, in the throes of a crisis, speak aloud a prayer of thanksgiving? One of my first overnight on-call experiences during clinical pastoral education at the University of Chicago Medical Center included such an expression of gratitude. I won't go into all of the details, but the mother of a devout Catholic family was actively dying that night. The woman's own mother, her husband, daughter, and daughter's fiancé were gathered in the room around her bed. A few days away, the daughter's wedding was to be celebrated. As I did my best to minister to this family in their despair, the dying mother spoke aloud for the first and only time while I was present. She said quite distinctly, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it." Psalm 118 expresses gratitude, admiration, joy, and praise for God. We can, as the words of Brian Tate's gospel song called Overflowing puts it, be grateful in gladness, grateful in sadness. Abby Tennis, the minister of the First Unitarian Church in Philadelphia, meditates on this line from the song, asking, if gratitude is not simply some nuance of gladness, if gratitude is perhaps not even an emotion at all, what is it? And if I don't feel gladness, where can I find gratitude? She writes about inviting participants in an elder care program where she led daily worship. Gratitude, she decided, was a topic that would resonate with an interfaith group. All kinds of gratitude were lifted up, but especially the gratitude of waking up each day. Reverend Tennis reminds us that because we are nurtured by the world around us, our first duty is to be grateful for the world around us. Grateful for the sun, rain, the bus driver, grateful for each day. Joe Good is a member of the UU Fellowship of Waynesboro. He wrote a poem expressing this basic gratefulness that is gratitude in sadness as well as gladness. Some of you already heard it this week. It's called Intended Light. The light I chose to fill the darkness never came, but all the same, through darkness waiting, the sun rose. On Thursday, I received a mailing from the UUA's president, Susan Frederick Gray. In the card, she shares these thoughts. Gratitude is a foundation for so many of the qualities we hope to nurture in our lives. Practicing gratitude nurtures joy, wonder, generosity, and an experience of abundance. Gratitude leads us to bring more love and care to the relationships that matter to us. It helps us to turn anxiety, worry, and fear into acceptance and recognition of the good we know and witness. Gratitude is a foundation for touching this earth with reverence, a foundation for seeing life and the beauty of creation as a gift and treating it as such. The early 14th century German Dominican friar Meister Eckhart reduces the spiritual discipline of gratitude to this: if the only prayer you ever say in your life is thank you, it will be enough. Amen. Blessed be and none.